All right, all right, all right. Welcome back to another episode of the Rock Your Brand podcast. Today, I am fired up because, well, we're going to be talking about the new opportunity on Etsy to get started in 2024. And the time of recording this, it's before 2024, but we are seeing so many signs that, well, there is a new opportunity. And it's something we've been talking a lot about here, but there's also going to be some changes happening to Etsy sellers that are coming in. And we're already starting to see that where it's negative for these people because people are getting kicked off left and right. And there are some reasons behind that. But what we want to focus on today is, number one, how to avoid that. But then also, what is the new plan? What is the opportunity moving into 2024? Is there still opportunity for a new Etsy seller to get started? So that's what we're going to be talking about here. We do have some updates I want to give you to some fresh numbers, and I'm real excited to share that with you because we have had a couple of records broke this past week. And I'm going to share that here on this episode. And then we're going to dig into the reasons why I feel like we've broke those records and some of the things behind that. So with that all being said, this is going to be live. If you're listening to this on the podcast, well, it's not live, it's a recording. So I want to invite you over to hang out with us on the YouTube channel if you're not already doing that. But if you don't want to, you can just listen on the podcast. That's totally cool too. But Chris, I'm fired up, man. What about you? I know we're just after Thanksgiving and we're diving into this new year stuff. How you feeling, man?
I'm good, man. I'm excited. You know, we kind of ended 2023, you know, and I'm saying this is still 2023, but the last few months have been kind of weird in the Etsy ecosystem. You know, there's been a lot of drama if you've been around, and that led to, like you said, Scott, a bunch of people leaving the platform, a bunch of people saying, hey, you know, I don't think this is for me anymore, or there's definitely not a way that you can make this work because Etsy's just totally arbitrary. And so there's just no point. So I'm going to go to this website that has five visitors, or I'm going to go over here, right? And if you don't want to sell on Etsy, that's totally fine. But also, it's not totally arbitrary, and there's definitely an opportunity. And Scott, I think you would agree with me based on our November numbers so far, and we have basically a day and a half left as of the time of recording this. There's definitely an opportunity, and it's a growing opportunity. If you do a few very basic things and focus on some of the fundamental things that Etsy is looking for, rather than using the "if I launch it, they will buy it" type of an approach.
Yeah, no, that's a great point because I think a lot of people are thinking still like, oh, I can just launch something and it's going to automatically sell, and that's not the case. Now, I do have some notes here because it is a bit of a plan that I wanted to share with you guys. So I'm going to go ahead and pull that up. So if I'm looking off camera, that's what I'm looking at. I just want to make sure that I cover everything here. But first off, before we even dive into like what you can do to take advantage of this new opportunity on Etsy, before we do that, I did want to ask you to comment in the comment thread. Are you just starting like right now? And let us know a little bit about you. Like, are you brand new? Did you launch in November or Q4? Or are you thinking about launching an Etsy shop in 2024? So I'd love to know that too in the comments. If you would do that, that would be amazing. But here's the deal and here's the truth. Etsy originally, okay, started as a 100% handmade platform. This is where all you could do is basically make something with your hands, knitting something, maybe carving wood, maybe wood burning, maybe it's engraving, things like that. That's the only type of items that Etsy was allowing for several years. All right. And I don't even know what the actual dates are. I probably should know them or find them so I can share them with you. But they didn't offer digital products. You couldn't offer any of that stuff. You couldn't offer print on demand. And then what happened is they started to allow digital items. They started to allow print on demand. Now, there are some stipulations, and those stipulations are being a little bit more now really held to as far as like what you can do and what you can't do. But as any platform, once they start opening it up to these other types of products, they're going to have a little bit more of a widespread of people just launching a whole bunch of different things. They can't really monitor it. And well, it's kind of like the Wild Wild West. And so that's what I'm seeing. And that's what I've seen since I've been on the platform. I mean, we've been actively now on there just over 3 years, but even before that, I knew about Etsy, because I've been in the online space for years. And ever since I started, I believe Etsy was a thing. I mean, Etsy is, I think 20 plus years old now, Chris. I don't know what the exact number is, but I know they started a long time ago, right alongside all of the other ones, even eBay and all of them.
I believe it was around 2005.
Okay. 2005. Okay. So it's not quite 20, but we're approaching. It's been a long time. But a lot of things have changed. The thing is, right now, because they opened it up to print on demand, and the way that you get around the print on demand thing too, by the way, like people are like, well, how is that handmade? The way that they're making it okay to do this is you have to actually design the product, or you have to put a design that you created or had created that is going to be for that product. Because a lot of people would say, well, handbags aren't handmade if you didn't make them. No, but if you create the design to go on the product, then it's technically handmade. All right. You handmade the design. You created it by putting your thought into it and your creativity into it. So that's how you get around that. Now, there are people that are just taking stuff from, Alibaba or any of these other sites and trying to drop ship it, things like that. That will be going away. I guarantee that that's not going to last. Now, are there people trying to find loopholes? Yes, but that's not going to last. Now, print on demand, I believe, has it's been very lenient. Okay, they haven't had a lot of stipulations as far as like what they're going to do or how they're going to control this. But they are now, and they've even said it in their documentation that they are going to be starting to make it harder. In a sense of where you just can't slap something up, all right? But there's still thousands of Etsy sellers that are coming in and that are going to be thinking that they can do that. And what will most likely happen is these people will open a shop and within a week, it's going to get shut down. And we've already seen that with some people. They're like, well, I opened up my shop like a week ago and it got shut down. Why? There's a couple different reasons on why that can happen. But one of the reasons could be that either you put up something that was trademarked or copywritten or something like that. You could have something there. It also could be because you're brand new and your banking information was incorrect. That's something that's been happening for a long time. But we're seeing more so now than ever that shops that are coming in that are just trying to slap up products and put a whole bunch of stuff up there as quick as they can, or digital products and just slapping that stuff up there, we're seeing those shops are getting reviewed and most of the time getting shut down. So we want to avoid that. And I'm going to share with you guys the opportunity that we've taken advantage of. And luckily we've done it 3 years ago, right from day one. And we'll kind of walk through that. And if you guys are brand new and you don't know our backstory, my wife started a shop about 3 years ago. It was at the, Q4 of the 30. Yeah. About 3 years ago. And started in November. I think it was November 7th, maybe 10th, and had, I think, 6 sales her first November. And then I think in December, did about $1,200, which was great. And then after that, it just dropped to almost nothing. And then we built from there. But that's kind of how we got started. But there is something that we did differently than that what everyone else, not everyone, but most people are doing. And that's what we're going to walk everyone through. But if you are listening to this or watching this right now, this is something that you want to create your own plan, and following what we're going to share with you will guide you to work on Etsy, but also work on any other platform or even on your own website. So Chris, I know I just gave a long-winded intro there of what we're going to be discussing. Is there anything I left out before we dig into how we can go ahead and really take advantage of this opportunity in 2024?
No, but two things I wanted to address really quick. Dream Talking with Vicky said, so Etsy's raising the bar. This is a good thing. And I think you and I both agree with that. 100%. And then somebody over on Facebook had said, you know, I started a shop 8 years ago. I stopped a few months into my journey and I'm scared it won't be as easy as it was 8 years ago when I could put up anything and have it rank. And the long story short of this is the game has changed, right? The rules have changed, but that doesn't mean the game isn't still, to quote our friend Sherlock Holmes, afoot, right? We can still play and there's just as much opportunity to play as there was in 2015 when they started allowing print on demand, in 2005 when the platform started, right? There's just as much opportunity now, if not more opportunity, Scott, because people are now familiar with Etsy, right? We ran the Etsy buyer survey and we know that people who buy frequently from Etsy buy as often as once a month or more. And so if we can get a nice little stable of customers, then we can really start to increase this. And Etsy is growing over time in terms of a customer base. So that stable will continue to grow. But the opportunity itself is different, right? 8 years ago, back in 2015, you could pretty much just throw anything up on the platform. And because there wasn't really any competition, the shotgun approach or the general store approach did work pretty well, right? Because there wasn't any real competition. And our friend over on Facebook had said, you know, I put up a few products. I was surprised to see that they ranked on the first page right away, which is not an experience that recent sellers have had unless they're doing a few other things. But you should not be scared that the opportunity is not there. If anything, the opportunity is still there and it's growing. But how we approach that opportunity and how we play the game has changed slightly, right? If you look at, Scott, if you look at American football from the early 1900s, would you say that that is the same exact sport that is being played today by the same rules in the same way, or has that changed?
Yeah. No, that's changed dramatically. Dramatically. I mean, we won't get in all the nuances there, but yeah, I mean, even look at instant replay, like that wasn't back then. Going after the quarterback, you couldn't really give a late hit or something like that. Was all
forward passing, right?
Forward like passing.
The rules change,
yeah,
but the game is still there and the opportunity to play football or to participate in the Etsy marketplace is still there, but the blueprint is different. You just like you wouldn't expect an NFL team to be running an offense from 1905. We shouldn't be using the same strategy that we used in 2005 on Etsy in 2024 or 2025. And so that's what we wanted to dive in today. The small tweaks, the things that have changed, and how that opens up a brand new opportunity in 2024.
Yeah, so let's just dig in. So here's the way that I see it. Now, again, this is our perspective, but I'm also using like my thoughts, the plan that we're using, because that's what I'm doing here. I'm just sharing what we've done. But I believe that if people are going to use this type of opportunity and this plan, I believe they're going to stand way ahead of everyone else that's just coming in, flooding the marketplace, that's going to be coming in and then leaving, or coming in and trying to sell a whole bunch of different t-shirts and mugs and things like that. So this here, there's two things, and they're big. They are big things, but the two things are this. Number one is building a brand. And you might be thinking, what is that? We're going to talk about it, but it's building a brand, a cohesive brand, all right, that can sell multiple products to the same customer. Okay. And there's a lot of different reasons why that works. It leads me to my second thing. And this is a big one. And I believe that in 2024, the ones that take advantage of this and the ones that learn this and implement this will stand way ahead of everyone else. And that is marketing. Now, what does that mean? Marketing, brand and marketing. I look at it like brand plus marketing equals success, because there's a lot of people that are just going to throw up products and expect that they're just going to get the SEO gods to give them, the Etsy SEO gods, by the way, that's going to magically let them appear at the top of the search, and then they're going to be able to get traffic and they're going to be able to get sales. But here's the truth. Everyone's going to do that, and everyone's going to be slapping up products, right? With no cohesiveness to it, no brand behind it. No products that are similar, no repeat customers, none of that stuff. And when it comes to marketing, there's nothing there other than what you get from Etsy of listing a product. That's the only marketing. And we can just take it one step further. And if you were to utilize, which a lot of people don't, is Etsy ads. That's one piece of marketing. That's one small piece of marketing that Etsy allows you to use, but there's so much more that we can do outside of Etsy, but there's that one piece. And so many sellers will say, I'm not going to do Etsy ads right now until I start making a profit. Why is that a bad idea? Chris, why don't we stop there and time out for a second? And why don't you tell me why that is probably a bad idea?
If you want tips and strategies on how to start, grow, and monetize your business online, check out the Digital Revolution podcast with Eli Adams. We interview digital experts from around the world that share their personal stories. They talk about what they're currently working on and where they see the future going. But most importantly, they share tactics in their specific area of expertise with the hope of helping you improve your digital presence online. You can listen to the Digital Revolution podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, or simply click on the link in the show notes below.
You throw in the challenge flag on this one, Scott, to go back to the NFL reference. The reason you shouldn't be waiting is that, one, to get traffic and sales, you need traffic and sales. And the best way to turn that on, the best way to start to get that is by driving traffic, especially if you're just getting started. You don't really have many ways of doing that. You can either use the if I launch it, they will come approach, and that'll take you 3 to 6 months. You can send email if you have an email list, or you can turn on Etsy ads and start getting traffic right away. Even if you don't get sales right away, you can start to see what your product is relevant for. You can start to give Etsy some of that good SEO juju from day one. And more importantly, Scott, you get the data back. So you start to see what keywords people are typing in to find your product. You get that information essentially as soon as they start running ads and people start clicking on. That then lets you start to understand, okay, if somebody clicks on water bottle, they buy my product. If somebody clicks on mug, they don't buy my product. I should be optimizing more for water bottle. And that helps us shortcut the giant traffic part of the flywheel that comes once the organic stuff starts to pick up. But if you're waiting to turn on ads until you get to a certain number of sales, you get to a certain level of traffic, or Scott, the one that drives me the most nuts, I need to have 5, 10, 15 products in my shop before I turn on ads. You should not be. As soon as you launch a product, you can turn on ads. It's not too soon to do it if you want that data back. Scott, the other reason people tend to wait is they say, I want to get a couple sales coming in and I want to start to build up, you know, $20, $50, $100 worth of profit that I can roll back into ads. What are your thoughts on that as an excuse?
So basically waiting to get profit to roll them in. Here's the way that I think about this. Are we starting a business, or are we trying to go out in our yard and put a little yard sign in there because it doesn't cost anything, but yet we want to sell coffee like 3 miles down the road, right? Like, we got to go where the people are, and we have to get in front of those people. Now, probably not going to put up a billboard for free. You're probably not going to be able to advertise in a newspaper for free. You're probably, you know, so to get the attention, we need to think about this as a business. What business owner thinks that they're going to start a business and not invest money in marketing? Like, who? Now, there's a lot of people that do, but you can also see that a lot of people don't get any sales. And they're like, well, I started 3 months ago, and I put up 25 products, I got no sales. There's a couple problems there. Number one, it could be because you're just not getting in front of those right people. Or secondly, it might just be you're not creating really good products. You know, so it's like we can look at it that side too. But if you're not getting traffic, you can't determine if people aren't buying your products if you're not getting the views, right? So we have to fix that problem. So I don't know if I answered that correctly, Chris, or what you wanted to get from me, but my point is you have to spend a little bit of money to get eyeballs.
So the objection I know that we will get to that line of thinking, or the thing I know a lot of people will think, Scott, is that we are then saying that means organic traffic doesn't work anymore. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I love that. I hate to laugh, but it is kind of comical, because here's how I look at it, is, and I know we're on a little bit of a tangent here, guys, but we'll kind of get to the plan. But this is part of the plan in a sense, because marketing is big. The people that are going to focus on marketing, and I don't mean just paid marketing, but just marketing your business, your products, your shop, the people that are going to learn marketing and focus on that are the ones that are going to succeed. In 2024, that's where it's going. Okay. And so, so here's how I think about this. Right now, if I was to pull up our stats, which I could do here in a second, and Chris can, you know, while he's talking, I'll pull them up. But I think I looked yesterday, and I think we spent about $3,600, $700, something like that, $3,700 on Etsy ads. And you might be like, whoa, Scott, that's a lot of money. Yes, it is. Those ads directly brought in about $12,000. Okay. But our Etsy shop has done overall, today I just checked, we're at 38K for the month. Okay. So let's kind of look at this now. We've got spent $3,600 on ads. It did great as far as a return on that money, right? So now we're at, what was that, 12,000. Okay. But we got how much more organically? Now you might be saying, well, yeah, you would have gotten that if you didn't. No, the way that we're looking at it is like the more sales that we can inject into our products, it's going to bring us up in the search. So this way here, anytime that people are searching for something that is closely related, Etsy's going to go, this thing sells a lot, put it in front of them. And that's your organic side. So that's how you need to think about organic. So many people are like, I'm just going to create my listings. I'm going to optimize the crap out of them, and they're going to rank, and I'm going to make $1 million. Not how it's going to work. Okay. The way that you need to think about SEO is SEO. Yes. You need optimization. You need all of that, but you need sales, because Etsy is going to look at 100 listings and go, what ones have the most sales and the best conversion rate? Those are the ones that we're going to put at the top. That's how it works. And now that you know that people like me and my wife and Chris, we're looking at business this way, how are you going to compete with other sellers that are doing this? You see where the marketing comes in? You see where the marketing mindset comes in, the strategy behind it? When you start competing with those, it's going to be real hard to compete. But once you get that momentum, it's like you're coasting in a sense. So, Chris.
Organic traffic is still a thing. What we're trying to do is shortcut that process, right? Because Etsy doesn't know quite where to put a new listing in the algorithm. And if we can give them the data they want, which is two pieces of information, traffic and sales, right? How do we shortcut that process? By driving traffic and sales. How do we drive traffic and sales? We turn on Etsy ads, right? That's the easiest way to do it. And Etsy themselves will then start to show us the data and say, hey, when you are shown for a water bottle, people click and they buy. When you're shown for cup or mug or whatever, people click and they don't buy. So we're going to turn that off in Etsy ads. And then we're going to go back through our listing and make sure that we're not talking about cups and mugs and all of those kinds of things in the listing, because that traffic on the organic side is probably going to be garbage too if we're selling a giant water bottle, right? So all we're doing is shortcutting that process. Instead of waiting 3 to 6 months to start to bring in enough traffic to be able to make data-driven decisions, we can shortcut that down to a few days or a few weeks, depending on the demand for the specific product. And if we're launching something, especially right now, we're getting a lot of data very, very, very quickly. And Scott, I think you sent me a screenshot. I think it was from Black Friday to Cyber Monday yesterday morning. And it was like a 7-to-1 return on ad spend, right? People say that's the worst time of the year to run ads. Well, we had a ridiculous return on ad spend. Then I sent you a comment and said, we better turn it off because we're just wasting money, right? Even if it's just the 4-to-1, I think that you were talking about, you said something about like $3,000, $3,500 and somewhere between $12,000 and $13,000 in return, right? That's an insane return on investment from a pay-per-click standpoint. But we're not even looking at that. What we're really looking at is the $38,000+ that is the total, because that is a result of us getting the data back faster and being able to monetize more quickly and optimize more quickly by turning those ads on. And Scott, one more tangent before we get back on track here. I know somebody right now is screaming at their television, screaming at their telephone, screaming at their laptop, or just quietly muttering to themselves, thinking, how do I do this if I don't have the budget? You guys were talking about, you know, you don't need to wait to have $50 or $100. What happens if they don't have a ton of money to run into ads? Like, is this doable on a few bucks a day? You know, we're talking about spending $3,000, you know, like $100 a day. Do they have to spend that much to get the information back, or what's the deal with that?
No, we actually, and I'm not promoting it here, but I'll mention it. We have an Etsy Ads Accelerator training. We did a workshop where we break everything down. Chris, you can throw the link up if you want to, if you have it handy. But basically, you can start with as little as $2 a day. And we have. Just this year is when we started to go all in on Etsy ads. And we started to really see a great return, okay? Not just on the front end, because when people look at Etsy ads, they look at, okay, I put a dollar in, I need to get $2 back, or at least get my dollar back. And yes, we want to do that, but we look at it differently. We're not going to get into all of that, but the way that we do look at it is we look at how many customers did we bring in? And because we're building a brand, as I mentioned earlier, with multiple products that these people can buy, number one, we're going to have a higher cart value. So people, instead of buying one thing, they can buy three, which we have happen all the time. And then you also have people that can come back and buy in the future, which we also have because we have an email list, another piece of the marketing, by the way. And now we can send an email and get people back over and do all of that fun stuff. So we don't look at Etsy ads as dollar in, $2 back. We don't look at it that way. But if you're just starting, and we did this, $2 a day, and you're going to start getting data. You're going to start getting eyeballs on your listings to see how they're converting. And if they're not converting, now we've got another problem that we need to address. You see, we can't tweak anything if we're not getting eyeballs. If we're just sitting around waiting, oh, we got 5 views yesterday. Okay, cool. No one bought. 5 views isn't really enough to determine. I want to get 100 views, 200 views. And how do you do that? You start $1, $2, $5 a day to test it. Our recommendation is if you can go $2 to $5 a day for the like 5 to 7 days, you're going to have some data back to start making some decisions. But that's kind of how we look at it. And anyone that says, I don't have $100 to do it, then I would encourage you to go in your basement in a closet and I would clean some stuff out and I would go and sell it on eBay or maybe Facebook Marketplace and get $100 and then run ads. That's what I would do.
So Scott, you're saying a lot of words like optimize and data-driven and some of those kinds of things. Would you say that one of the biggest differences, regardless of the other stuff that we're talking about, between, let's say, 2014,
sure,
right, which is right before they started allowing print on demand. I think they allowed that right around 2015. Mm-hmm. The biggest difference is this is no longer a platform strictly for artists, but it really is a platform for entrepreneurs, right? Yeah. You can still make sales on Etsy by putting it up and letting it get ranked and going through this. But the real opportunity is applying a little bit of the business knowledge, right? Looking at the scary things that no one likes to look at, like analytics. And I know I just gave 50 people that are watching this a heart attack just by saying that word, but looking at the numbers and doing more of what works and less of what doesn't. Whether it's ads, whether it's looking at the organic search reports that they're now giving us, right? Etsy is giving people the tools that they need to make data-driven business style decisions rather than hoping somebody's going to come to the platform, really resonate with your really cool painting and buy that. And it makes sense for Etsy to do that because then they have some way of getting a little bit of recurring revenue, right? They can get a customer and they don't have to wait until somebody uploads that specific piece of art that they like to be able to buy again. But it also helps the people selling on the platform if you're willing to do a little bit of the extra work, which is really just looking at the numbers that Etsy gives you and making the most out of it. It sounds a lot more complex than it is, but to me, that is one of the biggest changes that I've seen over the last few years is Etsy moved from being kind of like the free-spirited art marketplace to being a place where serious business people or people who are at least taking it 20% seriously, right? We don't take ourselves too seriously, but people who have a little bit of business know-how can really have a leg up over the people who aren't using the tools that Etsy is now giving us to be able to do those things.
Yeah. Again, I think, and again, this isn't a big pitch for Etsy ads or anything that you have to run them, but I do believe that you should run them, especially in the beginning. So again, going back to what's the opportunity is most people are not going to focus on marketing, right? I see it all the time with people that are in business. I had a guy, here's a little story for you. I had a guy that was detailing my car, okay? And he got me from a Facebook ad. Okay. So I was on Facebook and I saw this ad of someone cleaning a car and my Jeep. I wanted to get that thing detailed. Have never had a detail and it's about 5 years old. And I'm like, I should really get that detailed. Couple hundred bucks, whatever. So the ad got me. Well, he comes here and I'm talking to him and he never asked me for an email address, a phone number, nothing. And all he's doing now is waiting and getting the next customer, right? And so I said to him, I go, hey, give you a little tip. You should probably be collecting emails and phone numbers so you can message people like me that have already paid you back. And he's like, wow, how would I do that? So the guy had no idea, but he's running Facebook ads. He's getting in front of people. He's getting people to reach out. But that follow-up, that's the marketing. So a lot of people can start a business, but doesn't mean that they know how to do marketing. And for me and Chris, like our stuff is all about marketing, good marketing, right? Getting the awareness to whatever we're doing. It doesn't matter if we're doing Etsy. It doesn't matter if we're doing brand creator stuff. It doesn't matter if we're doing our YouTube stuff. Like it doesn't matter. You can't sell anything if you don't have eyeballs, period. Like you have to, okay? So to me, in 2024, those two things, brand, and what do I mean by a brand? It means that you're focusing on a niche or niches that are tightly related, okay? And you're creating multiple products. So if you think about it, like I'm going to create a product for this customer and I'm going to create three more for that customer. And then whenever I'm thinking about another product that I want to add to my catalog, I'm going to think of that customer. And so I'm constantly building out this catalog of products that this customer can buy. And that's going to help when people are coming to the shop because they're going to buy more now right off the rip. And then they're also going to be able to come back and buy more in the future. Or when we create a new product for an upcoming holiday, we can message those people because we have their email address. So having the brand piece is really important. If you did this and you're just selling random t-shirts, like I'm going to just sell t-shirts and mugs, the typical thing. It's not going to work. You can do all the marketing you want, but you got to find all of these different types of people that might like these different style of t-shirts, but the chances of them buying more than one thing is very low. And they're probably not going to remember your brand and they're probably not going to be coming back. And I'll say this. I think Etsy is going to really, really favor the brands. Why? Because they're going to be doing more volume. They're going to be more cohesive. They're more serious. Like Etsy wants their platform to be of serious brands. All right. So brand plus marketing equals 2024 success, like in my eyes. Okay. So with that all being said, we can dig into a little bit of the nuances here, but really that's what we're talking about. That's the big missing piece and the opportunity that if people take advantage of that, they will succeed because, well, not a lot of people are going to be doing it. I mean, we can see it right now. I guarantee it's probably 80-20 or maybe even 90-10 of people that are randomly just, you know, Beverly's art design shop, right? Like that's one, okay? Or you got someone else that's like John's t-shirt rack, right? And that's the business. That's it, just t-shirts. Like what's trending? Let's jump on that. What's a hot product right now? Let's jump on that. We don't do any of that. Okay. Now, do we look at trends as far as like certain colors or certain styles or different types of sweatshirts or different types of pillows or flags or things like that? Sure. Of course. But we don't look at there's this saying that's going viral right now. So we're going to create a shirt on it. Don't do that. It's so short-lived. And it doesn't go with our brand. So we never veer off the brand. All right. So guys got questions, drop them in the comments. If you guys are finding this valuable, do me a favor, smash that like button for us. That would be amazing because that would help us. It would help us. It would help us reach more people, and we would love that. So if you would do that, that'd be awesome. And Chris, maybe right now would be a good time to put a little shameless plug in there for something that we've got going on here. You think we should maybe let people know about that? Maybe?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, cool. So guys, we are going to be doing a brand new workshop because we've had people ask us, what do you guys do? How do you do it? How do you build a brand? How do you build marketing into it and all of those things? And so we decided to do a workshop, which we're doing. And it's going to be on December 7th. And we've already opened up enrollment. But you can go to brandcreators.com/123 and you can join what we're calling 123 Pod Fast Track. And this is going to be everything that we've done all the way from finding the niche, building out the niche, building out product lines, connecting everything, getting everything so it's working, marketing, and how to really build out that brand. So everything that we have done, we're going to be reversing the steps that we've done and teaching them in a live workshop. So if you guys are interested, head on over to brandcreators.com/123 and you can buy a ticket. If you're watching this after the 7th, you can still go there. The price will probably be a little bit higher, but it will be an on-demand class. But as of right now, we're going to be teaching this to just over 240 Etsy sellers. So we're really, really excited. So if you guys want to join us, hop in, go on over there, check it out. All right, cool. So Chris, where do we want to go next? I can take this in any direction that you want. I've covered pretty much everything that I wanted to, but if we want to get into like, there's six different things that we really do focus on, and we can kind of break those down if you want. Where do you want to go? Any questions come in that we need to address?
Yeah, I would say let's take a deep dive into the things people need to know moving forward, right? The big lesson is that from 2005 when Etsy started to 2015 when they started allowing print on demand, right? It really was kind of the Wild West. And last year, Scott, is when we really started to see the transition from that more of like a side hustle art whimsy type of thing. And I don't say that to sound like dismissive, right? But it really was more of like, just put up anything and people will come and buy it, to really more of a brand-based repeat customer model. And Etsy themselves are the ones that really started to kick this off. And I think it was around the middle of Q4 last year, like October or November, when they started announcing and saying that they wanted to roll out more and more of these things. They started rolling out these tools. And then earlier this year, they rolled out the Share and Save program and some of these kinds of things. They're giving people who are more analytics focused brands, right, more ability to rule on the platform. And so that's the big takeaway we wanted to give everybody in terms of the transition that's happened. Now, Scott, how do we take advantage of this, right? If we're starting in 2024 or we've already started and we find ourselves using the if I build it, they will come type of a model, what are the things that we need to focus on?
Yeah, let's dig into those. I did want to address something though. A couple people jumped in and said like, well, how does this work for people that are selling digital products? Well, marketing is marketing. Okay. So you got to do marketing on if you sell digital, if you sell physical, it doesn't really matter. You still need eyeballs. So all of that is the same. The only difference in what we're doing is we're just leveraging physical products by using print on demand. Okay. If you don't know, we've built other brands with physical products that we bought inventory, like thousands of pieces of inventory. And we had $100,000 in inventory sitting in a warehouse. Well, when Pod became a thing and we started the opportunity on Etsy, we decided to take our brand approach and bring it there. And it's been working out really well because we don't have to have that $100,000 in inventory sitting in a warehouse. All right. So digital can still, it can work the same. My only advice to anyone selling digital products, and if that's you, pull in here real quick because I've got something that you might want to try. And I've said this to a lot of people that I've done Etsy shop audits for that sell only digital. Maybe you need to start taking some of that digital stuff and putting it on products for print on demand. And now you've got two different types of products. You have digital and physical. I see this a lot with people selling art prints. You sell an art print that you give away as a printable for $6, But you can take that same printable and put it on a canvas, on a pillow, on a flag, on a blanket, on all of these different things. Why not? Right? So that would be my advice there. And if you are in that situation and you want to go through the workshop with us, we'll show you exactly how to do all of that stuff. But that's what I would recommend anyone that is selling digital products. All right. So with that being said, let me go ahead and pull up my notes here because I have like six things that I wanted to share. So brand plus marketing for the win in 2024. That's going to be my little tagline. All right. Number one is niche focused. I really believe that it's underutilized, it's underdone. It's like no one's really doing that where they're focusing on a niche. And I know a lot of people say, well, there might not be enough demand in one niche. Well, then there's shoulder niches, as we call them. There's niches that are related. So if you're in the wedding niche, it's going to be wedding, but then it's going to be like bridal party, it's going to be engagement, right? Those are all still related, right, to the same person or the same event. So being niche focused is really, really important. And that's going to help everything that we do moving forward to build out the brand. The second thing is creating unique print-on-demand products. And what I mean by that is designs and styles. So again, everyone sells t-shirts, everyone sells sweatshirts, everyone sells mugs, okay? We sell them, but we only sell them because we already have the designs. That's not what we started with. It's not like we're going to start there and that we just put them on other products. So the great thing about print-on-demand is when you create a design, guess what? You can put that on 4, 5, 10 different product types. So that's something that we always do is create that unique design, and then we create that unique pod product, okay? So that's number two. Number three is building out the Etsy shop and branding it, all right? So you think about your Etsy shop as your store, as your physical location. If someone was to walk in, the brick and mortar, the colors, the signage, the organization, like everything. That's what we want to do there. So that's number three, is really having a cohesive and really well done, giving the people the feeling of the texture, of the colors, like all of that stuff. So that's big. So that's number three. Number four, building out product lines. This is going to help with repeat customers. All right. So if we build out product lines, okay, for these individuals that can come into our shop and buy one thing, but then three things or maybe five things, you see how that's a lot easier to increase your sales to sell more to one person than it is to just keep finding new people. Yes, we want to find new people, but we also want to take advantage of the work that we've done and being able to give more opportunities for the people that have already came in and bought from us or are buying from us. So that's number four, product lines. Okay. Number five is marketing. All right. And the marketing side is internal and external. So internal, Etsy gives us a ton of things that we get to take advantage of. Right? A ton of things, right? Yes, you can say, well, they give you SEO. You can, SEO isn't necessarily a thing as far as like, oh, you just do it and it's turned on, right? You have to actually put it out there and it has to get indexed. And there's some things that have to happen in order for you to show up, right? So yes, you can use SEO, but there's a lot of other things. There's internal emails, there's coupons, there's sales, there's things that you can do. There's follow-up. All of that stuff. So that's the internal. The external would be building your email list, which now we can do with Everbee email, which is awesome. Following up with your customer, the first four messages as they're getting ready to receive their message, increasing your reviews. All of these things are parts of the marketing, and that would be the external piece. So that's internal and external marketing. That's number five. And then number six is a big one. And my wife does a fantastic job with this, better than I ever could do. And that is customer service. Like, she's on it. The minute someone messages about a question about a product, she's on it. If someone is asking about where a product is, she's on it. Right now, fourth quarter, oh man, is she busy. Busy processing orders, busy with customer service, with all of this stuff. But we know it's a short window. It's going to be over soon, right? But she's doing it, and she's doing a fantastic job. And you can see in the reviews, oh my gosh, I love my product, and I love the communication that I had with the owner. She's awesome. She really cares. Like, all of these things are baked into a review, by the way. Okay, so customer service is huge. And it's even more important when you're building a brand, because we want these people to go, oh, I want to go back and buy from them because they're really cool people and they're really responsive and they take care of their customers. So you see how everything gets built off of the first thing that we talked about, the niche. And then everything else we build around that and we build for it. And then everything else becomes easier. And I say easier, it's still work. You still got to put in the time. You got to show up, but you have so much opportunity if you follow that model. The other cool thing is then you can take that model, right? That all that stuff that you just did. And we can then go, oh, let's set up a Shopify store. Let's pour all of our things over to a Shopify store and we can sell externally on our own website now. Huh? We can do that. We build our email list externally. We get to own that. So now we start building real assets for the business. Okay. We aren't going to get into all that, but that's what I'm calling brand plus marketing for the win. 2024. Like, that's it. All right. And Chris, did I leave anything out? Anything you want to highlight, underscore? What did I miss?
I think that really is it right there. It's not overly complex. The biggest thing that has changed is that we have to be a little bit more business minded, a little bit more numbers minded. We have to focus on the things that Etsy wants to get the results that we want, which is sales. It just so happens to turn out, Scott, that traffic and sales is also what Etsy wants. So if we can focus on the easiest way to get those things, that's going to get us 90% of the way there. And the best way to do that is really to follow those six steps. And I think the biggest one that we would get some pushback on, Scott, there is number one, it's that niche focus. And I know there's a lot of people saying, well, like, look at some of the most successful stores on the planet, right? Target, Walmart, Kmart, which is probably a bad example for those people, but they were around forever, right? All of these places offer everything to everybody. So am I not losing out on something by not offering everything to everybody, by not just launching all of these things? And the real answer is no. And the way to understand this, Scott, would be to start to think about your Etsy store as a section of Walmart. So let's say you walk into Walmart and you're looking for Doritos. If they put the Doritos between the kids' toys, like a Lego set, Doritos, and then a Samsung 42-inch television, and then right next to that, there was some other things that were just totally, you know, diapers, totally unrelated things. That would be a very confusing experience for people, right? They just so happen to have enough space that they have stores within stores, right? They have the electronics store. It's Walmart Electronics. They have Walmart Grocery, Walmart Clothing, right? They're different defined sections organized in a way that makes sense. On Etsy, we don't really have a way of doing that except for at the storefront level. Based on the Etsy buyer survey that we ran, the people who are most likely to come to your storefront are people who are repeat customers. The problem is they're looking for something very specific. So if we give them Doritos, diapers, and a Samsung 42-inch television, they're going to have a hard time finding what they're looking for. Yes, we can, in theory, pick up a few more sales here and there from the random people who are just driving by at 3 o'clock in the morning and going, you know what, I really need some Doritos, but I don't need a 42-inch TV and I don't need diapers. But we lose out on the thing that really is the driver of growth, which are the repeat sales that come from somebody who knows what to expect. When you go into the grocery section of Walmart, you know where your favorite bags of chips are. You know where the meat is. You know where all of those things are. They're not going to suddenly move that to the television section and get you lost through the store by doing that. Focusing in on one single niche and serving one group of people actually opens up that opportunity of getting that repeat business, because it makes it easier for them to find not only things when they come back to your store that they are interested in, but also when they're making that initial purchase and looking at the other things that you have. It's not just a smattering of everything, right? They have the chips right next to the dip for a reason. And we need to be doing that as well. If we put the TV next to the chips, nobody's going to buy the TV just because it's sitting there. I think the other side of this, Scott, that a lot of people miss out on the niche side, and I wanted to get your opinion on this before we move on, is people tend to think, and I saw at least one comment over on the YouTube side, that niching down stifles your creativity and can leave you feeling kind of constrained. What are your thoughts on that as a pushback against that niche-based approach?
Yeah. Again, you have to look at, like, a lot of times people are, they're creative people, right? Like, they just love to create, right? It's not necessarily like you want to create for a specific, you know, niche. You don't want to just do sports and outdoors, or you don't want to just do weddings, or you just don't want to do baby stuff. And I get it, but you also have to look at it as a business. If you were starting a business, okay, which you are, by the way, but if you were starting a business and going to pay rent in a plaza, and you were going to spend $3,000 a month on rent, what would you think then? Like, how would you want to get people in and be able to sell them multiple things and have people want to come back because you're the go-to for that? That's how I'm looking at it. I'm not saying that it might not be for you. Like, that's the other thing, Chris. Like, we almost have to be honest with ourselves here. Not almost, we have to be. We have to be honest with ourselves. This isn't for everyone. If you just want to be a person that creates a whole bunch of different stuff, you might want to just do like Fiverr gigs, go over on Fiverr and just create for people one-offs, right? So something you have to ask yourself, are you building a business? Are you doing this because you want to build a sustainable business? Or are you doing this just because you love creating things and you just love creating things and that's what you want to do? I personally, and my wife, we did pick, and I believe everyone should pick a niche that you're interested in and that you're maybe passionate about, and then you enjoy it. And then you get to have fun by creating stuff for that customer who might just happen to be you. So I think people that have the most success are generally going to build in a niche that they're interested in or that they're passionate about. And I also think that you have to also then look at all of the other sub niches that you can go into, because we're starting with this one niche. It doesn't mean that we have to stay there. I brought up this example before. If I was going to do like sports stuff for children, I might start with a sport that my daughter's in right now, which is beach volleyball. And then I might move over to baseball, and then I might move over to basketball, and then I might move over to another one, but they're still related. It's still youth sports. So hopefully that makes sense.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And I think the place where people get bogged down with that is they say, oh, I want to be creative, right? Well, you can still be creative. You can still create baby clothes. You can still create dog bowls. You can still create whatever. It just has the bent of whatever your niche is, which in our case, we define a niche not as a product, right? We don't have a Tumblr store. We have a fishing store. We have an electronics store, right? We have a baby store, right? Babies are a niche. We have a wedding shop. And then all we have to do is target those people. It actually makes your job a heck of a lot easier on the marketing side because you know exactly who you're going after. But it also makes your job easier on the product creation side, which is where we get a lot of feedback. Because you're not just, you know, that's where we get the most pushback, I think, is on the product create. I'm going to feel stifled. Well, do you think that somebody who's interested in Game of Thrones might want a Game of Thrones thing for their dog? Yeah, probably. Now, don't use Game of Thrones, right? Trademark, copyright, intellectual property, avoid that. But that was an easy example, right? Do you think people who are into fishing might want a fishing thing for their dog if you have a pet shop? Yeah. So we don't have to go create everything for fishing, but maybe we create a fishing themed dog booty set, booties like socks, not dog butt, booty set for Christmas, right? Or something like that. And then anybody who has a dog that is buying from our shop, or anybody who has is into fishing, is going to buy that for their dog, right? We can make this work. We just have to apply the idea to the niche. And it actually frees you up creatively, because then you don't have to go chase the trend and say, oh, I have to launch this specific kind of a product. You can look at your store and say, what sells best with my audience? And then apply the design trends that you're seeing through the lens of that. And it actually is a lot easier to come up with product ideas. It sounds a little counterintuitive until you've done it a few times. But once you start viewing things through that lens, it's much, much easier for you to say, oh, I could take this color palette and apply that to my audience. Or I could take this design trend or this saying and create it in a way that would appeal directly to my audience. And you don't have to compete with everybody else who's going after those trends at a generic level, because then you're only going after bass fishing socks for kids at Christmas or whatever, instead of just bass fishing socks, right? And so it lets us more easily create the listing. It narrows our focus, which actually opens up the possibilities. And then all we have to do is apply what we see through the lens of our niche, and we can create more designs and more products much more quickly.
Yeah, no, 100%. And okay, so here's what we're gonna do. I've got some questions that people have asked, and also I have some things that I want to make sure that we cover here that is related to this, by the way. But, you know, a lot of times people are starting and they're wondering, like, when can I get, you know, when will I see success? And one of the big questions that I get is like, when will I make my first $1,000 on Etsy? Like, how? So let me give you a plan. If you want to make $1,000 or your first $1,000 in 2024 selling on Etsy, here is going to be what I would recommend. And this is what I would do if I was starting from scratch. The very first thing, and I talk a lot about this, and you're going to hear me talk a lot more about it here in 2024, and that is, we want to focus on building a brand on Etsy. So this way here, I can attract a certain customer, and then that certain customer can buy from me today. It can buy more from me today because I'm going to have multiple products, which I'll get to here in a second. And I'm going to be able to have repeat customers. It's so much easier to sell to the same customer. So much easier. We have all heard on Shark Tank, if you are a Shark Tank fan, please put that in the comments below. I'd love to know. But you always hear them say, how much does it cost you to acquire a customer? You'll hear it all the time. And the reason why they're saying that is because they understand that it's going to cost you marketing dollars, or in this case, maybe it is your time, but it's going to take money to bring someone in the door. And when we do, guess what? We now have a customer that even if we paid $20 to acquire the customer, we now know, because we've built a brand with products that are related to each other, we're able to then sell them more things in the future. All right. So that is number one, building a brand focused on a niche. So this way here, when we acquire a customer, no matter how we acquire them, by the way, we're able to sell them more. Well, how do you sell them more? Well, there's a lot of different things that we can do. But the first thing that you need to do is you need to create multiple products. And an easy way of doing this is create one design and then put it on five different products or six different products. And a lot of people are just focusing on the t-shirt, the mug, you know, the typical things that we see people selling. Why not put something on a pillow, a throw pillow? Why not put something on a yard flag? Why not put something on a throw blanket? Why not put something on a tumbler? Why not put something, oh, I don't know, put it on, if you're in a certain niche, maybe you put it on a, I don't know, a tablecloth. They even sell them, by the way, or you can do Printify. You can do that. So no matter what you are, what you're creating, most of the time, you can repurpose that design and put it on multiple products. And now that person that came in from one thing, they might go, you know what? I want to get the pillow and I want to get the yard flag. Okay. So that's a way that we can build out our catalog. All right. So I would say start focusing on that one customer. Think about what products and what designs would they be interested in? And that's where I would focus my product research. I would do product research to find products that are already selling in my niche, and then I would build off of that. And here's a little hack for you. When you're doing your product research, you're going to find that there's not a lot of Etsy shops that are selling to one niche. You're going to find maybe five different shops, and they sell a whole bunch of different t-shirts or sweatshirts or mugs. And you're going to be able to see, oh, for my niche, this seller has one that's selling really well. I have another one from another seller that's selling really well. And then I can take those and I can start to get intel and say, I should probably create something with that type of theme or that type of design because people are buying it. And now I collectively will have all of these different designs and products that they've already tested for me. All right. So that's the other thing. Now we have a niche, we have multiple products that they can buy. Now we got to get traffic. The quickest way to get traffic and to get to that first $1,000 is to turn on Etsy ads. And why would you want to do that if you haven't made any money yet? Because we need to get that Etsy flywheel going. I would put all the listings up on Etsy. I'd make sure that they're SEO optimized. I'd have good title, good images, good description, good tags, all of the basics. And then I'm going to turn on Etsy ads, because then what's going to happen is it's going to give me eyeballs. And when I have eyeballs, I have a chance of making sales. Once I make sales, guess what? That's going to help the Etsy algorithm, because they're going to say, hey, there's 100 listings like yours, but yours is getting more sales. We're going to promote you. And that's a little secret that a lot of people don't know about. They don't realize that Etsy is really looking at the sales velocity of a product. And that's how they are dictating what is going to show up more than others. All right. So that's a big one. Then the other thing that I'm going to do here is I'm going to start building an email list. I'm going to start following up with these people. Okay. And you might be wondering, well, how do you do that? Well, now we're very, very lucky, because there's a tool out there called Everbee Email. And Everbee also does the product research. I only use the one tool, by the way, product research, SEO optimization, and now email. If you want to check that out, by the way, you can go to emailforshops.com. If you go there, emailforshops.com, you can sign up through my link. And yes, I'm an affiliate. Yes, you'll buy me a cup of coffee, but you'll also get 1 month free. So you can check that out. And I'll also give you some bonuses. I've got some templates there for some email stuff. But it's marketing. And a lot of people, new sellers, are not focusing on marketing. And that's what I would do there. Email is marketing. When you are able to get in front of someone that's already purchased from you, that is marketing. So that's what I would do there as far as the marketing side. And then to wrap this thing up, I would go ahead and focus on customer service. Every single person that comes through your door asks a question, you need to respond as soon as possible. You need to deliver on your promise. If someone got a product and it might not be exactly how they wanted it, don't fight with them. Just either give them a refund or offer to give them another one for free, or just offer to take care of them. Okay. Because customer service, now that we're building a brand, is going to go a long way, because now people are going to leave reviews. What are reviews going to do? They're going to help you make more sales, because it's now social proof. People are saying, oh, these people bought from them and they're happy and they're getting their products. And oh, this person had a problem, but they took care of it and they're happy now. So all of that stuff is going to also help you get more sales. So that's what I would focus on. If I'm starting from scratch in 2024, I'm focusing on that right there. And then I'm going to just keep building out the product line, keep taking care of my customers, keep marketing through Etsy ads, email marketing, and those things. And I'm just going to repeat everything that I'm doing. All right. And to get to $1,000 in or on Etsy is not as hard as you might think, because, well, you're going to be focusing on products that are already proven to sell, because we're doing our product research. And then from there, once we're able to really get that Etsy ad stuff going, the email marketing stuff going, it's just going to be a matter of time. So that's what I would do if I'm starting from scratch and I want to hit $1,000 or my first $1,000 on Etsy. So Chris, did I leave anything out of that?
No, I think the only thing I would add to that, Scott, is people get bogged down in how easy it is or like what the timeline is. And I think one thing that a lot of people miss out on is how easy it is to get to $1,000. Really, especially if you're following the model that we're talking about, we shoot for $10 in profit on every sale. So we're only talking about 100 sales to get to that mark. If it's $5 in profit because you're running discounts, some of those kinds of things, maybe you're spending a little bit on Etsy ads, right? That's double that, right? 200 sales. It's really not that hard if you are following what you were just talking about. If you're going after products that are in demand and you're not selling them for a dollar, right? Yeah. Now, it is a little bit harder with digital products, because although they're mostly margin, the prices on those things tend to be lower. But that's why we advocate for, there's nothing wrong with digital products, but look at what your niche is, looking at both physically, print on demand, and digitally, right? And incorporating those things together so that we can get the best of both worlds and start to go after that. But I think the plan you just laid out will get people easily to $1,000. And rather than thinking about it from the monetary thing, I think going after it for me from the sales perspective, saying if I get 100 sales at $10 profit, it seems a little bit more doable to me. And I'm not sure why, but that's the piece of advice that I would have there. It's just break it down, right? How long do we have to do that? Well, if we get one sale a day for the next 3 months, we're almost there, right? So if we can focus on just getting one sale a day out of our Etsy shop, we're going to get there over the next 3 months and 10 days.
Yeah. Okay. So another question that I get asked, now that we have crossed six figures in sales on Etsy, people want to know, like, what have you learned? Like, what would you do differently? What would you do again? What are you doing now that maybe you didn't do in the beginning? And so here's what I would say. If I'm going to reflect on $100,000 plus in Etsy sales, and this is again from us, not anyone else, because everyone else has their own experience, but I would say we definitely have dialed up our marketing. And in the very beginning, my wife started this Etsy shop and she did it as a little side hustle. And it still is somewhat of a side hustle. But we've learned that, well, it's like anything. When you focus on something more, it's going to grow generally. Okay. And that's what we've really been able to do. I got involved probably about 2 years ago, I would say. And we also realized that marketing is really, really the same here as it is on other platforms. And what do I mean by marketing? Etsy ads, email marketing, internally and externally. Those are like the big ones, the big levers, I would say, that has really accelerated our sales this year, even over last year. Last year's November was around 22,000. This November, we're going to hit $40,000. Okay. And the difference is, well, we dialed up Etsy ads, and you're probably going to ask, well, Scott, how much did you spend on Etsy ads to do that 40,000? I'm glad that you asked, because I just looked not that long ago, and I believe it was just under $3,700 is what we spent. And from that $3,700, we brought in $12,000. It was like $12,200 from that $3,700, but organically made up the other part of it. So I've realized that Etsy is like a flywheel. You put good products up, you create a really well-branded shop, you make sure that your listings are optimized very well, and then you turn up the traffic. And what I mean by turning up the traffic is any way that you can drive traffic that's targeted, by the way, that's important. Once we can dial up that marketing through Etsy ads, email marketing, okay, we're able to now inject traffic, targeted traffic, to come over and buy. Well, that's what Etsy ads did. $3,600, $3,700 in spend, $12,000 in a return. That's great, right? But you heard me say we did about $40,000. So all that other stuff we didn't pay for. But because we drove sales into the business, that also took our SEO that we optimized for and then put us at the top of a lot of search results, because now Etsy's looking at our listings like, hey, this listing is really selling and people are leaving great reviews. We should probably promote it organically. So all we're doing is we're feeding the Etsy algorithm. We're feeding the Etsy flywheel, and we're feeding it with good marketing that is getting eyeballs, but also getting conversions. All right. So the big lesson here that I've realized is, well, when you inject those sales and you inject that type of traffic, sales will increase. But they're only going to increase, and this is a big important point, they're only going to increase if you have products that people actually want. So you can do all that marketing stuff, but you didn't do good product research to find products that are in demand that people are actually searching for. It's not going to matter. You can put all the marketing behind it you want, you're not going to get any sales. And you can turn on Etsy ads and you'll probably see you're not getting a lot of impressions, you're not getting a lot of clicks. And the reason why is because you might have, on your product research, you might have missed that part. Okay. So that has to be in place. So we always start, pick a good niche, pick good products that have demand, and then turn on the traffic with Etsy ads and email marketing. And that is the simplicity of our business. Like, and I look now and I kind of zoomed out at 10,000 feet and I'm like, okay, what makes us different than a lot of other sellers? Brand focused. We have multiple products to serve to that same customer. We have good marketing in place. And we're also taking care of our customers with great customer service. And that's it. Like, that's all that we focus on. Now, the one thing I will say is this, and I've realized this, is on Etsy, Q4 is going to be by far the biggest, the most sales that you're going to do on Etsy, okay? And so what we've done is throughout the year, yes, we try to stay consistent, but we also know that we're gearing up for these holidays, okay? And we can even say Easter, we can say Mother's Day and Father's Day, and all of these have nice little spikes, right? But not like Q4. And this year, we noticed that in around late August, early September is when things started to tick up for us. And that's when I said, okay, we're going to have a great Q4. So because of that, I've also realized that you're probably going to be a little stressed out in Q4. But we also know that there's an end in mind, or a rest period in time, which will come after Q4. And my wife right now is experiencing that. The time that I'm actually recording this here for you is, you know, she's in it, you know, and I'm in it, and we're busy. Okay. But we know that there's only a few more weeks left, and then it's going to kind of taper down, and that's okay. But the one thing we're focusing on is how many customers can we get in Q4? Because if we get customers in Q4, like I think I just looked, we're over 1,000 customers in Q4, or not Q4, in November. So 1,000 customers, now we can market to those people again in the future. So that's why when we're looking and zooming out on our business, those are the things that we really, really focus on. Yes, we're looking at the number that we're making, right? But we're also looking at the amount of customers that we have coming in, because we know that there's a potential that they could be repeat customers, and we're building out our customer base. All right. So those are just some lessons and, you know, some things that I reflected on since getting into this Etsy game. And hopefully you guys can see that there's a lot of similarities about what I talk about, because, well, it's just, that's how it works. That's what's been working for us. And, I don't think we should change it. I think we should probably keep doing what we're doing. So hopefully that helped. Anything I missed on that, Chris?
I would say there's a lot of good lessons to take away from that, but focusing on the customer acquisition side of this, which really, Scott, everything else that you've been talking about makes the customer acquisition side of this easier. That to me would be like the one big takeaway for anybody who wants like one lesson or one nugget out of the first $100,000 in sales, because if you can get repeat customers, those are going to be the people who are going to buy from you again and again, meaning there's no additional customer acquisition costs once you get them in the door the first time. Two, they're the people who are most likely to buy from you, meaning every time you put up a new product, there's a chance that they will add to your bottom line. And three, if you can really start to build up that customer database, you're not always worried about fighting for new customers or making sure that you have the exact perfect keywords in the exact perfect place, because you need to be in position number one, not position number two, for the organic search results as soon as possible so that you can start to bankroll that, right? If you have dependable customers and you focus on getting those people, you can get away with not being perfect at SEO, because you're driving what Etsy really wants: early traffic and sales. And so if you have to take one thing away, that would be the one big lesson that I would focus on for growing your Etsy business, no matter what size you are currently. Focus on getting and keeping customers, and that's going to get you where you want to be.
Yeah. Okay. Here's another thing that I want to address here. Moving into 2024, because this is super important, and I get this question a lot, and that is, how do you avoid getting kicked off, banned, suspended on Etsy in 2024? And that's a big concern, because there's a lot of people right now, probably as we're doing this video right here, there's people getting kicked off. And it's scary, because you're putting a lot of time and effort into this Etsy thing. and we don't want to waste our time. Well, there are some things that we can do to not necessarily 100% prevent this from happening, but it's definitely going to make your or take your chances of getting, you know, shut down and banned and suspended and all that. It's going to definitely minimize that. Number one, and this is a big one, and I see this happening, do not, I'm going to highlight that, don't go after items or products or designs that are copywritten or trademarked. We see this right now where people are still launching products, Taylor Swift, Disney, Yellowstone, the TV show, anything that is out there that people are buying for a concert, anything like that. And you see it and you're like, wow, they're making a fortune. And you're like, maybe, but guess what? They're probably going to get shut down. They're probably going to get banned for life, which I did a video on this channel, by the way, of a lady who was doing that, and she did get shut down, and she actually recorded a video, and I just reacted to the video and kind of gave my thoughts. But she was doing Taylor Swift, not even saying Taylor Swift. It was like some of her lyrics that are not owned by us. They're owned by her. Okay. So whenever you see that, do not please fall into the trap of trying to go after the easy money, because that's what a lot of people think. And they also think, well, if they're doing it and Etsy's letting them do it, it must be okay. And that's not the case. There's been some debate that Etsy is not going to do anything until they get a notification from someone else that complains about this situation. And that may be so, but I do believe that it's going to be getting stricter as we move forward, because there's going to be AI bots that are going to be able to go through and see, okay, are these listings violating a trademark or copywritten material? And then you're going to get flagged. We've also heard recently of people saying, well, you can't use third-party mockups because that's going to get you banned. And that may be so. But the only way that I see that happening is, well, using a trademarked mockup that isn't yours, that someone else stole from someone else and then sold that. And then now you're using something that's like a stolen goods. Like you can't do that. The other reason is, well, your mockup might not be of the product that you're selling. It might be close, but it's not the right one. So Etsy doesn't want that because they're going to get complaints from your customers that say, I bought a sweatshirt and it's a V-neck, but this one here isn't really a true V-neck. It's small, you know, it's not that deep of a cut or something. So that's another thing to avoid moving forward. And that's a mistake that Etsy sellers are still making. All right. The other thing is, make sure that your banking information and your address and everything that you put in there is 100% accurate, because you will get shut down, suspended. And a lot of times it might be temporary, but that's also a red flag that can now be put on your account. I believe that Etsy is going to give you certain strikes. I don't know how many, but I do believe that they're going to give you certain strikes. That would count as a strike, even though it's not really a huge deal. You just, you know, you missed a couple of, you know, parts of your address, or maybe you put in the wrong zip code or whatever it is. You don't want a strike on your account from day one. So make sure that when you're putting in your information, it's 100% correct. All right. So those are the big things on how people are going to, they're going to get kicked off, they're going to get banned, and they're going to lose their rights to be able to sell on the Etsy platform. So make sure, please, that you watch this video over if you need to, and make sure that you're not violating trademarks, copyright, and material, and that you're also using mockups that represent your products 100%. And if there's any chance that it's not, don't use it. One little tip, though, I would do is reach out to any mock-up stores that you're buying them from and ask them, Are you actually taking a real photograph of the product, or are you buying these from someone else? Because that's really important. You want to make sure that they're actually photographing the product themselves. So this way here, you're 100% sure that it's the exact product that your customer is going to be getting and that you're representing. All right. So hopefully that helps you and eliminates you out of that batch of people that will be getting shut down in 2024. So make sure you follow the rules. All right. Anything I miss on that, Chris?
Two big things. And then just going back to the rumor, right? The rumor that was going around for the longest time was that it was the mockups. It's not the mockups. As long as the mockups accurately represent the product and you own the rights to it, you are allowed to use mockups. The two issues where people run into the biggest problems are copyright, trademark infringement type stuff, like you were just talking about. And also, Scott, the one that I believe was actually the root cause of all of the mockup drama a few months ago, which is improperly building your listings and not focusing on setting it up correctly. Etsy allows print-on-demand products, but they have to be properly marked as print-on-demand products, which means you are indicating that you have a production partner and you do not claim that you make or manufacture the product. You are not the manufacturer of a print-on-demand product. When you create your listing, it should say in the category section, handmade with production assistance. That is something that will happen when you set your listing up properly. If you claim that you are the manufacturer of the product, it will get listed in the handmade category. And what a lot of people were running into, Scott, with the mockup drama was they were in the handmade category, not handmade with production assistance, meaning they didn't set their listing up properly. And Etsy went through and they said, well, this has the same image that's showing up a bunch of other places. So it's clearly not a handmade product, right? So we're just going to take it down. You wouldn't have that issue if you were listed as a print-on-demand product because they know that you can use mockups. For truly handmade products, you're not supposed to be using mockups. You're supposed to be using real photos of the item, which you should have because you're hand making it, right? So that would be the thing that I would focus on. Make sure you're not doing anything silly with trademark or copyright. It's not worth it. It never is, right? And to make sure that you really have your listings set up properly. If you have a million listings, do you need to go through all of them and go back and say, hey, I need to change the settings on all of these? You probably should, but it's not necessarily the best use of your time. Just make sure you're doing it right moving forward and that you're indicating that it's handmade with production assistance. List yourself as the designer, not as the manufacturer for print-on-demand products. And those two things, I think, will clean up 95% of the people getting banned for no reason issues.
Yeah, no, I think that's all good advice. And I really just think it comes down to people need to realize, and one thing I want to leave you guys with is like, we need to realize this is a business. Okay. And we need to treat it like a business. If you're going into business, I don't care if it's on Etsy. I don't care if it's opening up a coffee shop. You need to do two things. One, you need to focus on building a brand that people, and I don't mean brand like you have to Pepsi, you know, like a Pepsi brand or a Coke brand. I'm saying you just want it to be where people feel as they're in the right place for what they're looking for. And it feels also safe to them. It feels like they're going, if they have a problem, they're going to be able to reach you. They're going to be able to come back and they're going to be able to ask questions and things like that. That's what we're talking about as far as building a brand that is cohesive with products that are related, that are going to serve that same customer. And then we need to do marketing. Okay. And you need to make marketing a big part of what you do in your business. Because without marketing, no one's going to see your stuff. Okay. And I would really, really strongly, strongly recommend embracing marketing. Okay. And learning marketing. I mean, right here on the channel, we teach marketing. We're going to continue to teach marketing. If you have any questions that you want us to address, put it in the comments and we'll possibly answer it or address it on an upcoming video. But marketing is so, so important. If you don't have eyeballs, you can't sell anything. And there's so many people that are just relying on finding a product, creating the product, and listing it, and doing good SEO. That's it. End of story. Next product, next product, next product. And then all of a sudden you have a store filled with 100 products and you're like, why am I not getting any sales? Why am I not getting any views? Because there's, I don't know, thousands of other people that are doing the same exact thing. And then everyone has the same listing stuff, the same type of images, the same everything. What separates you? What makes you stand out? So you have to find ways to get attention that other people aren't doing. Etsy ads, people aren't doing it. I would love to do a survey on all of the Etsy sellers out there. How many people are doing Etsy ads? And I guarantee it's a lot less than you think. So there's an opportunity. Number two is email. Collecting email addresses, following up with email, and focusing on customer acquisition. Okay. If we do all that, all we need to do now is just create more products because everything else is kind of working. Like I said earlier, we had over 1,000 customers for November, 1,000 people. Do you think that maybe they might come back and buy more if we have products that are similar to what they purchased or at least on that same, that same theme or in that same vein? Don't you think that there's a greater chance of that than if I had 1,000 customers that came in and they all bought random stuff? It just makes sense. To me, anyway, it does. Let me know in the comments if this plan of building a brand and marketing makes sense and if you see that it is an opportunity because there's not a lot of people doing it. Either they don't want to learn it or they just don't want to do it. So let me know that in the comments. I would love to know that. But that to me is the secret formula. Brand plus marketing, that's how you're going to win in 2024. Chris, anything you want to add to that before we wrap for the day?
I think we are good to go. Again, the big change that has happened over the last 10, 15 years, I'm not going to do the math. Well, I guess Etsy would technically be old enough to smoke now as of having this conversation, right? So the last like 18-ish years of Etsy is that they are going from something that was more of a put it up and see what happens type of a platform to a business focused platform. And if we want to do that, we have to embrace it, right? If we want to be successful in 2024 and beyond, we need to embrace it. And that doesn't mean we have to stress over every little number and that we have to go in and fine tune SEO all of the time. But we do need to focus on the tools and the opportunities that Etsy are giving us. And the two biggest places or three biggest places, Scott, that I see that happening is really niching down and focusing on one niche so that you can build a brand around that niche. Creating products, a wide variety of different products that serve just that person. If you have a fishing shop, right, don't be afraid to create something more than mugs. People that like your fishing stuff will buy it on a variety of different platforms or a variety of different products, rather. And then really focusing on dialing in a little bit of the business side of this, which is numbers-driven marketing, right? Turn on those Etsy ads, get some data back, and let that start to help you make the decisions. Then focus on what keywords are driving the most sales for your products. That's going to get you 99.9% of it. So the real opportunity in 2024 is just to take advantage of the tools and opportunities that Etsy is giving us by building a niche-focused brand rather than kind of a generalized store that we have to constantly be trying to market to compete with the people who are building niche-focused brands.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I want to give a little shout out before we do wrap with Rodrigo. Thank you so much, Scott and Chris. I've started in May and today I see people are reaching. You take that off for me there, Chris. I'm reading. You taking it away on me? I'm trying to keep that up there. Thank you so much, Scott and Chris. I've started in May and today I see people are reaching my store by typing my shop name and I just broke 5K this November. Branding is everything. I agree with you, Rodrigo. I believe it is everything too. I do. So yeah, you and I, we're thinking the same thing. So I appreciate that. All right, cool. So let's go ahead and wrap this up. I did want to give another little shameless plug here. If you guys want to hang out with us on December 7th, depending on when you're watching this, and this will be also an on-demand class later, but if you want to attend live, we are doing what we're calling the 123 Pod Fast Track Workshop, which is going to be going down December 7th. We are going to be walking through all of the different areas that we just addressed, really. And we're going to be diving into niche, you know, discovery, how to find them, then also how to build that out, how to do the marketing, and really everything that we've done. We're going to try to create this workshop to walk you through every single part of this process. So this way here, we can help people understand how to do it, but also to see that it's not that hard. And once we have these pieces, these building blocks in place, then it's just a matter of doing it and then repeating some of these areas. So this way here we can continue that Etsy flywheel. So if you guys are interested in joining us, head on over to brandcreators.com/123. Again, that's brandcreators.com/123. And you can go ahead and enroll there. If you enroll before December 7th, which I think we're going to close enrollment while we're teaching the class. So December 6th will be the last day to get a ticket. But if you wanted to join us, get a ticket, you can show up there, hang out with us live. It'll probably go around 2 to 3 hours. And then we're going to answer Q&A and all of that stuff as well. But we're also going to be recording it. And then we'll have an on-demand version later after we finish the workshop and it gets edited and things like that. But if you want to be there for the live, we're only going to do this thing once. If you want to hang out with us live and go through this training, brandcreators.com/123, and you can grab a ticket. All right. So Chris, I think that's going to wrap it up, guys. Thank you so much. We went on for over 90 minutes. So this has been awesome. I appreciate each and every one of you. If you have any other questions for us, drop them in the comments down below. If you got value from this today, smash the like button. If you're listening to this on the podcast, go ahead and leave us a review. Let us know what you learned or what you took away from this episode. We'd really appreciate that as well. All right, guys. So that's it. That's going to wrap it up. As always, take care, take action. Have an awesome, amazing day. We'll see you right back here in the next episode. Take care, guys.